Hello and welcome to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jake McClure, again flying solo this week. This episode will be on what happened in the week ending April 19th of 2024. I'll be back on the other end of the bumper music with more. Welcome back to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jake McClure. Jeff is off doing magical things in North Carolina with his wife and two dogs as they visit his other parts of his family, my brother and sister-in-law and their three daughters. I am excited that he's getting to do this. So what happened this week in the market? Our dear old S&P 500 stock index has been churning ahead, routinely breaking records on the upside for about 7 months now. That propensity to soar shows in its one-year trailing return of over 20%, specifically 20.28% for a 12-month trailing. But like all bull markets, like other animals, they get tired after a season of climbing mountains and tend to take a breather every now and then. This week, the SPX, our wonderful if slightly broken index, took a snooze. It slid down a little and came to a halt at the still lofty level of 4,967.23. That's 3.05% down for the week. It's been a rough month for the bulls, falling for 1 month it fell 4.08%. That's not particularly fantastic, but still being up 20% for 12-month trailing is really hard to complain about. Our other more democratic indicator, the CRSP U.S. Mid-Cap Value Index, ended the week at 2,562.66. That's up, or I'm sorry, down 0.48% for the week. For the month, it's down a little over 2%, but year-to-date, it's still up almost 2%. Put that all together, it's a much more stable indicator than the S&P 500, which has been ruled by the culprits of the slide, or at least for the magnitude of the slip. They were the same stocks that have propelled it all the way up this year, the so-called Magnificent Seven, or throw another enchanting descriptor word in front of a number, and as long as the number's below seven, you'll have heard it some point in the news about the market in the last year. Apparently, some people who have been pouring money into anything even vaguely related to artificial intelligence have begun to realize that trees don't grow to the sky, unless you measure the sky as at the top of the trees. And then, I'm messing up my own analogy. We'll come back to that later. The super stocks have succumbed to the same economic laws as the rest of the market. The real positive was that the sudden appearance of people coming to their sentence didn't spark a major sell-off. It didn't trigger a rush to buy the digital tech stocks as their prices fell either. That sounds reasonable and sensible, which is strongly suggests we're not in a bubble at the moment, at least not in the stock market. There are certain stocks that have definitely been overpriced. If you have stuck to the philosophy that holding some bonds in your portfolio is a great way to cushion market declines and declines as well, you may be unhappy to know that the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury yield rose to 4.62%. Now, rising interest rates tend to make the principal balance of the bonds that you're not holding to maturity drop. The rise over the last, what are we looking at? The last week? Goodness gracious. The last week has been a 19% increase in that yield. That's major. It went from, for year to date. It went from 3.88% at the beginning of this year, only a little more than 4 months ago, to 4.62% now. That's a major increase in the yield. You've probably seen a market decline in both bonds and stocks if you're holding it in your portfolio. Bonds have been going down all year as far as their principal value, and stocks have been climbing all year and are still net up across the board. But this last week has been a bit difficult. If you've been in the ultra short-term U.S. Treasury bills, you'll be pleased to know that they're continuing to pay a solid interest rate of just under 5.5%. That's annualized, and we're talking about something that's 2 months, so you'd have to buy six different versions of it. It wouldn't actually pay the same amount the whole time, but still, it's a significant number. West Texas Intermediate, that's our benchmark for oil rather than the Brent crude over on the other side of the lake. Here it's West Texas Intermediate, and it ended the week at 83.24 or so, though that number moves around a lot. It never actually stops trading. That is a down for the week. Yes, the price of oil came down 2.83% for the week. Year to date, it's up 16%. So if you've been feeling it at the pump, I'm not trying to rain on your parade, but you can have a rainy parade without the extra rain from me. Oil prices are up about 16% for the year. But if we go back 10 years, yes, 10 years ago, we're down 20% in the price of oil. That is significant, because when you start looking back at that far, you should see some interesting results. So what was it? What was all the volatility this week about? Well, it had to do with the Federal Reserve. Well, big surprise there, Jake. That's generally what causes people to be upset. They're trying to anticipate what the Federal Reserve's going to do. The same pundits who have been saying there's going to be a recession and the Federal Reserve's going to cut the rates way earlier than we expect have switched, and now they're saying maybe they'll keep the rates higher or even raise it forever. It's like a stampede from one side of the airplane to the other. We're tilting the other way on the economic side. The Federal Reserve, I know this is going to be sad for most of you listening, but even the Federal Reserve doesn't know what it's going to do. I know that's weird. They have a lot of tools available to them. But as things change, as we move forward, you can't predict that Iran is going to launch on Israel. You can't predict things like whether or not we have 9 hurricanes in 1 month. They have a good idea of what they're going to do. And the people that are trying to second guess them and they're doing their moves on expectations of the Federal Reserve, instead of just looking at what the Federal Reserve looks at, our economy is strong. According to the Commerce Department, U.S. retail sales rose at a seasonally adjusted 0.7% in March. What does that mean? Well, if you annualize that, you get a really big number. That means that we're buying stuff. Then throw in the rest of the danger here, danger being a good economy. The Labor Department announced that we hired a whopping 303,000 new people, net new people. That's including all the jobs laid off, Tesla's folks and all the rest going on. Net of all the layoffs, we still hired 303,000 people in the month. That's about twice as much as we need just to keep equilibrium. About 60% of U.S. industries added jobs in the month. Even the areas of the economy that generally have the biggest target on them, that would be the things that you do because you have extra, leisure, entertainment, hospitality, they gain jobs. And that's not what the naysayers want to hear. They actually want to hear bad news, so the Federal Reserve cuts rates fast. Although long term, that's worse for the stocks than if they raise rates. There's a little more than a little. There's a very definite reverse psychology in the way people feel about the stocks and the stock market, and the way people feel about the Federal Reserve. Wages are rising faster than inflation. Just hold that in your mind for a minute. People have more money in the bank than inflation would give them. And they're not generally making that much interest in those banks, because banks haven't caught on and started paying people yet, because people haven't been moving enough money out yet. So what we have overall is a fantastic economy. And now I'm going to move to disclosures, because that wraps up what's happened in the week. We have this down market because the news was so good. Yes. So the Personal Wealth Coach is an SEC registered investment advisory firm. It's not coincidental that the podcast is also called that, because the two principals at that firm are generally the two hosts of this somewhat mediocre, reaching for slightly less mediocre every day cast that we put on here. Just because we're registered with the SEC doesn't mean to imply that there's any level of expertise. If you listen to us for very long, you would laugh at that sentence. Nor does it imply that we're giving investment advice on the podcast, because we can't, right? We don't know everybody that's listening, and investment advice is fiduciary, and we need to know the person really well and what your interests are and what motivates you and what you're trying to achieve. And we don't know everybody that's listening to this, though we thank you for doing it. So the SEC hasn't given us a thumbs up, thumbs down. We're not giving investment advice. This has hopefully been educational as to what's going on in the world. And the information that's on here is coming from places that we deem to be reliable, important places like the Commerce Department and the Labor Department and other bureaucrats that sit around and do nothing but use their pencils on graph paper, or at least that's how I imagine. There's definitely green visors involved somewhere in my imagination. If you would like to talk to us off the air about this stuff, about investing, about management of your portfolio, that's what we really do. We give advice at the fiduciary level and then follow it up with the investments and management for our clients. We have phone numbers available throughout the week. On the weekend, we have voicemail during business hours because it's not business hours. But the rest of the week during business hours, we have real live people. We don't have a phone tree. There isn't a virtual assistant trying to answer your question incorrectly. The unartificial unintelligences are proliferating significantly. The phone numbers to reach us are 254-947-1111, or should you still have a landline, toll-free 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com. or tpwc.com, where you can use the contact form to get in touch with us, or you can read our newsletter going back. You can listen to podcasts or radio programs from the distant past. See what we had to say about things back when there were other things to say. If you would like to email us directly, jeff@tpwc.com and jake@tpwc.com. Thank you very much for listening all the way to the end. You get some kind of special treat. Here's a piece of stale popcorn. Thank you very much. Until next time, this has been The Personal Wealth Coach.